Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
It's time for the Friday Gathering now, and I'm joined this week in the studio by political correspondent with the Irish Independent, Gabby Agata-Fitzgaetha, Fine Gael TD for Dublin Rathdown, and outgoing Minister of State at the Department of Enterprise, Trade and Employment, Neil Richmond, Labour TD for Dublin Fingal East, Duncan Smith, and political editor with the Journal.ie, Christina Finn. And thank you all for coming in today. Government formation, let's start with that. Neil Richmond, The Mail is reporting this morning Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil are going to swap a couple of departments, good few departments, only housing to remain with Fianna Fáil. Is that on the money, do you think?
To be honest, I think it's a bit premature for those sort of conversations because they haven't happened. Ultimately, this will be discussion and decision, I hope, when all things go well, between Micheál Martin and Simon Harris. Mm-hmm. And those discussions haven't happened. There's no sort of open agreement on that.
Do you really think they haven't happened? I mean, they're the ones who are talking most regularly. You know, they've been in government together coming out of this election. So it would make sense for them to have those chats now, surely.
Yeah, you can have chats. But we're talking about genuine government negotiations and formal discussions and formal negotiations. That hasn't happened yet. What we do have happening is really properly intense negotiations between the Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael teams the last number of days and before Christmas. Today, the regional independents are actually formally entering the negotiations as well with those discussions. And other parties are still having discussions. There was good discussions, unfortunately, that didn't amount to anything with Duncan's party, but that's all perfectly understandable from both sides' point of view. And Micheál Martin and Simon Harris, when they conclude, will sit down to have those. Because I'm always... Amuse is one thing, Claire, probably the wrong term, is there's always a focus on who's getting what job.
But that makes complete sense, because you either want to have housing as the Fine Gael party or you don't. So you can't really go into your programme for government without having the conversation around who's going to be in charge of this department.
No, the whole point of forming a programme for government is getting a programme based on policy for the next 5 years. And that's the most important thing. What will you be putting before, in due course, the Fine Gael members when they have to assess this, is a programme for government, not a who's got what position. And ultimately, this is a government of totality. We'll all be responsible for these policies, just like we sought re-election on the back of the overall government's performance a number of weeks ago. So that's why everything has to be rooted in policy. And for us, as politicians who are part of this process, our focus is first and foremost on policies that, yes, will see us build more affordable homes, that will make sure that we relax the tax burden on people and continue to protect what is one of the best economies in Europe.
The other side of this is it's taking a long time. Like, it is really drawn out, because you would imagine that the deal would be done very quickly between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, because you know each other so well now. And it's only today that you're having those formal discussions with the regional independents.
Well, it's a lot quicker than last time and a lot quicker than 2016 as well. The comparison, though, quite fair, is when you take a 2 week break, and I think everyone had earned a 2 week break over Christmas. No one wants to be doing government negotiations on St. Stephen's Day, and I think that's fair, and I don't think anyone wanted to be reporting on it, but I can't speak for others.
We have a snow crisis. We have an interim government in place. We have a health crisis. Hospitals full with people who have flu, and, you know, there doesn't seem to be any urgency.
And we have ministers and we have policies reacting to that. Look, we look around the country and you look at the response, be it from local authorities, from civil defence, from the defence forces. I saw videos of them ploughing snow down in the Midwest today. It is still functioning, but ultimately we're not putting a government together for the next couple of days. We're putting a government together for the next 5 years. I completely dispute the fact that it's drawing on. We're having good discussions. We were in discussions with the Labour Party and the Social Democrats, as was only right. It's narrowing down to the regional independents are coming in. There are obviously parallel discussions perhaps with the Healy-Ray brothers, but really, we're into the nub of it now. And I think we will ultimately probably have a government put in place in the next couple of weeks that will last for 5 years.
Do you think you need the Healy Rays?
I don't know. And I don't know the context of that real discussion. Ultimately, I know that we have Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil together are only a seat short of an overall majority at this stage. We do need a couple of more people to come into government in whatever entity to make sure that we have a strong, stable government with a decent majority, a majority that will last 5 years. Because when we're looking at a Trump inauguration in a couple of weeks' time, a collapse of a German government, a collapse of a French government, a UK economy in serious difficulty, we need a strong government who can actually weather all those challenges.
We need it quickly as well. I mean, that inauguration is coming on the 20th. The earliest we can hope for is the 22nd. And it looks as though it's not going to happen until the 29th, if we're lucky.
Yeah, 22nd, 29th, it's the space of a week. But what we will have, Claire, and this is key, and I will make this point, it is a relatively acceptable short period of time, whatever term you want to use, that actual negotiations are taking place, when you take the Christmas break out of it, we will have a government in place, crucially, that will have a decent majority that will last five years.
And you've made that point. Duncan, do you think, are you satisfied with the pace of this now?
I think if it goes beyond the 22nd, I think people will get a bit browned off. I think it was very clear, particularly with the election of the Ciarán Cóirle, that there's a deal being done.
And Rona Murphy.
The man and woman in the street were saying to me in December, sure, it's going to be the two with the independents. It's going to be the two with the independents. Mm-hmm. And the people know what's coming down the tracks. So I think in 2016 and 2020, I think there was kind of understandable reasons why it kind of was drawn out a bit. I don't think that applies this time. So as you mentioned yourself, there are crises that need strong ministerial and governmental responses. And I think if this is seen to drag on beyond the 22nd, I think people will have very little patience for that.
And do you think that the Mail is right, that the divvying up of the portfolios is happening?
Look, I can only speculate because we're totally outside that, but I'd imagine it is. I mean, in the exploratory talks we had, it was very clear that Fianna Fáil in particular wanted to go a certain way with the independents, and one of the key points of difference that we had that they wouldn't even talk about was in the area of housing and changing housing policy.
So it was clear to you that they wanted to keep housing.
That would make sense to us, that they would want to keep housing, which is, given it's the underpinning crisis of our time, has dominated the last few years, and particularly the debate in politics in the last government, and will again when this new government comes into
being. And do you accept the point that if you're negotiating a programme for government, that you're going to have to, you need to know who's going to be in charge of that department in order to prioritise particular items in that programme for government?
Look, I've never been involved in negotiations for a programme for government, but yes, it would make sense that you would have at least an indication of who's going to be in charge, whether it's the party or an individual. But it seems clear to us that one of Fianna Fáil's key demands is that they will keep housing, and that seems to be coming out in the reports now.
Mm, Gabby, you're nodding along there.
Yeah, that's been the case for a number of weeks, that Fianna Fáil has wanted to hold onto housing. Of course, the issue there is that they also want justice. And I think Fine Gael, to some extent, are probably happy to hand justice over because, as we've seen in the past number of years, especially with immigration becoming quite a big issue, the Department of Justice has become quite a fiery portfolio. I mean, that's, I suppose, the issue when you divvy up departments at the start of a government. You may think, oh, sure, that job may be, quote unquote, easier or better to do than some of the others. But you don't know how it transpires. I mean, the Department of Integration there is a great example. Roger Gorman set out the stall wanting to end direct provision. And of course, now we have a lot of people coming into the country every single year. And I think Helen McEntee has, of course, faced a lot of backlash in the Department of Justice. She's, of course, the Fine Gael's deputy leader. There is talk, perhaps, that she may be going into the Department of Enterprise. Perhaps energy will be put into that department. So I think one thing that is safe to expect is that there will be a big divvy up, chopping and changing of departments. Eamon Ryan's department is a good example. For example, he's got transport, climate, communications. That's two departments put into under the one minister. You know, that's going to be split up. The Department of Integration again will be split up because you're going to have this Department of Home Affairs that Fianna Fáil want under the Department of Justice. So there will be a lot of chopping and changing. And I think when it comes to ministerial roles in the next government, they will look quite a good bit different than they than they currently are looking.
The speculation in that piece as well, that Jim O'Callaghan could be heading for the Attorney General's office. Have you heard anything about that?
So, look, I think Jim O'Callaghan is an interesting position because he would have been seen as one of the staunchest critics of Micheál Martin in the last government. He was given the Dublin-based South by-election, if listeners would cast their minds back to the year 2021, that did not go very well for Fianna Fáil. And in the weeks leading up to, I mean, even before, during the general election campaign, he went on prime time and he called James Brown ministerial assistant. So I don't know how all that goes down to Micheál Martin and his closest aides when it comes to the divvying up of roles. Look, perhaps, you know, Jim, I think, he's got a lot of experience. Of course, he's a barrister. He's very respected within Fianna Fáil and he's always commanded this level of, you know, he's a lot of knowledge. He's an expert on justice matters, and he would have been one of the most, I suppose, go-to critics of Helen McEntee. So, look, perhaps there might be a role for him there, not in the Department of Justice, but somewhere similar in government.
I mean, everybody has their wants and needs going into these conversations, not least the backbenchers, Christina. You also have the civil servants who will be playing into all of this. So there's a lot of agendas to satisfy, isn't there?
Yeah, very much so. And speaking to people about why perhaps the negotiations might be dragging on, as people are saying, is because the programme for government, while yes, it's a document that the government is held to, it's important, I suppose, for the party leaders to be able to have some sort of backup within that document in terms of what I've been told, and ensuring that the civil service, the secretary generals, you know, have their feet held to the fire somewhat in terms of being able to point to specific items within the programme for government, and for the government to be able to push them through, drive them through, and get the manpower behind it. But at the same time as well, for backbenchers, we're going to have obviously regional votes for Fine Gael about approving a programme for government, and a special Ardèche for Fianna Fáil. This all has to be voted by the members and the parliamentary party of each party. And the programme for government is important in that respect, in terms of ensuring that 6 months, a year down the line, if there's a contentious issue that comes up that needs to be voted on, that
the answer will be it's in the programme for government or it's not.
And a backbencher can sort of, you know, make moves and say, oh, well, I didn't know about this, when it's actually written there in black and white.
Simon Harris wanted a Department of Infrastructure set up, Neil. Is that still on the agenda, or has it fallen away?
No, everything is still on the agenda, and I think that area would have been discussed largely yesterday between the two negotiating teams, but it's absolutely discussion. But I think it's really interesting when you talk about the programme for government and you talk about this vote in 6 months' time. 3 times a week, every week for the next 5 years, the Taoiseach or the Tánaiste will be held to account on questions on promised legislation by Duncan and his colleagues and many others, and that is all rooted in the programme for government. So there's a reason why you have to get it absolutely precise and absolutely crystal clear that you can refer back to that. All the discussions for us as parties who are involved in it are rooted in the policy. And it's just interesting when you're referring to Jim, I don't remember a TD being appointed as Attorney General since perhaps John A. Costello, but open to correction on that one.
Well, there definitely is precedent there for that. It's not unheard of, but it is unusual. Do you get suspicious or worried when you see a party saying we want to hang on to a department that has been difficult up to now, like housing? Does that mean that Fianna Fáil and Dara O'Brien see we're going to reap some reward from our efforts now in 2025, and it'll be all us who will take the credit?
Well, it depends on what individual and what party is talking to what journalist, to be honest. To be quite frank, at this stage, when you're reading speculation, you can have to read between the lines. Ultimately, what will come out in the next 10 days, probably 2 weeks, is a programme from government that will be agreed by Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil, and potentially a third bloc.
I suppose what I'm asking is, are you happy for Fianna Fáil to hang on to housing?
Again, I want to see a chapter in the programme of government that reflects the Fine Gael stance on housing.
This
that
is will top, actually this is top of the list for voters in the last general election. Housing.
Top of the list
big
for voters
concern.
Isn't the individual who's Minister for Housing. Top of the list for voters is building 300,000 additional homes, is getting real affordable housing for the person who is looking to buy a home or is looking to get off the housing list. They don't really care what party or individual. They see us as a government bloc.
No, but and this is politics. If you feel that you can fix the biggest concern that voters have, why would you let Fianna Fáil take that ministry again?
And every door that I knocked on Dublin Rath through the month of November and before, they didn't really ask me who the Minister for Housing was. They want to know what is being done in housing, what is being done to help my child get out of the box room, or what is being done to help me move into an affordable accommodation. And they're asking me that as a Fine Gael politician who is a minister in a very different department.
So what are the ministries that you think Fine Gael should have and hold on to and keep or take from Fianna Fáil? What are the important ones for Fine Gael to have?
They're all important, Claire. And I know that's a glib answer and and listeners will roll their eyes at heaven, but that's where we're at. And this is the point I'm trying to make, and I'm trying to be serious when I'm making it. I want to see, and all my party colleagues want to see, a programme for government that is rooted in policy, that reflects as closely as possible the manifesto that over 400,000 people voted for Fine Gael to deliver. Mm-hmm. The individuals and the departments are a discussion for Micheál Martin and Simon Harris, and I'm happy to leave it between them.
What would you feel about a Minister Healy Ray, junior minister, super junior? Any feelings on it?
No, not really. I don't have any strong feelings.
You don't have an issue with it?
I don't have a particular interest. I want to see a strong government that reflects Fine Gael policy. We're going to need additional people in the government beyond Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil. Mm-hmm. We've obviously ruled out people we're not going to talk to in the guise of Sinn Féin, and Fianna Fáil haven't ruled them out, but believe it or not, we ruled out people for profit before at an Ardèche. So that's the focus on.
Well, you'd have to give something to the regionals. I mean, we know that, but now we're also hearing that Michael Healy-Ray might have an interest in a super junior.
Might have an interest, and a discussion when it comes to ministerial position buy-in, That's something that's not done by the negotiation teams. That's done by the party leaders. And that's something that I'm happy to leave to my leader.
Duncan?
I think we're, as a party, facing in to a period in opposition now again. And I think what we'll want to see is if individuals or familial groupings or party groupings are supporting government, is that it's going to be clear in the Dáil that they're supporting the government and that they can't run with the run with the hounds. And
so
I think we've seen that
you're
either in or you're out. You know, so you can't be supporting government one thing and then taking strips off of leaders' questions and taking time off real opposition in terms of holding government to account. And I think there's been an evolution of this over the last two Dáil terms in terms of certain TDs, you know, supporting government on motions of no confidence or indeed on budgets if things get tight, but then playing the populist opposition card the following week or indeed maybe the following debate. I think we need to be a bit more honest in how we're portraying our politics in
you
general
can't
across the parliament.
Control that though if they decide to do that. You mightn't like it, but like, what can you do about it?
Well, there's things that can be done in terms of whip meetings and business committee meetings, in terms of Dáil reform, in terms of indeed in terms of where TDs sit in relation to government parties, like even mechanical measures like that. But we just need to be cognizant of it. And I think it's something in terms of the next Dáil and the way that.
So you're saying to the Healy Rays, you make a decision now. You're either with these guys or you're not, but you can't ride two horses.
Be it them or others, yes.
Okay. Christina?
I think just when you're talking about the ministries and specifically about Fianna Fáil taking over housing, well, Neil says, I know that everyone wants to work together to get the programme for government delivered and make delivery for real people. At the end of the day, each party likes to have their fingerprints over things that are a success.
Yeah.
So it's a risk for Fianna Fáil in one degree that, you know, they're saying they put down the groundwork here on housing and they think it's going to deliver for them in the next government. The problem is if it isn't and we're still another 2 years in and house prices are rising and people still can't get on on the property ladder. But I think, like, to say that ministries aren't important and that they all just want to work together, that's not the case, because when things go wrong, they go wrong and they're quick to point the...
So you're not buying that one, are you?
I don't think so, no. I think ministries... I'd be very surprised if there hadn't been some serious discussions about who gets what at this point. The party leaders are meeting on a daily basis at this point, trying to hammer out compromises on policy. And I very much think that... they have an idea of who they want in those jobs.
Right. Listen, I want to talk to you a bit more about housing and talk to everybody a little bit more about housing, because we see now the first-time buyer mortgage, the average first-time buyer mortgage, rose by more than 24,000 in the year to November. So they're borrowing more to buy the first home. Christine, I know you have friends who are telling you that what they're doing is looking at the asking price, first-time buyers, and adding 20%. That's their first bid, is it?
Yeah, very much so. Like friends of mine that would be out there looking on Daft, my home, you know, saying what you see there on those sites is not what you're ultimately going to pay, that you need to factor in a hell of a lot more money when it comes to the final bidding price or when you get into those
auctions. And I think the people probably listening go, well, it was always like that. But what you're saying is they're skipping the bidding and they're just going straight in at 20% over.
Yeah, and putting in those offers and trying to, I suppose, secure the home. And rather than getting, you know, bogged down in all these sort of... bidding wars between many different people. And I think what jumped out at me from that survey is the level of debt that first-time buyers are taking on. I think it was around 3.4 times incomes, but in the Celtic Tiger, it was 4.5 times income. And economists are saying few people go over 4 times their income at the moment. That's the banking rules that are set out at the moment. There is an exception that you can, you know, if you talk to some banks, they might go to 4.5. But at a time when, you know, we're talking about mortgage interest rates coming down, they're still very high in comparison to other European countries. And in the same week that we've seen deposit rates from banks like Bank of Ireland, for people that are trying to save a deposit, those interest rates are coming down alongside the mortgage interest rates. So while that's welcome that the mortgage interest rates might be falling, it's not to the degree that other European countries
are facing. So
are
you saying you'd be concerned about heat in the market now? Because we were told just before Christmas, I think it was, that our house prices probably have 10% there, you know, which is over and above what they're worth, and that we could be heading for a drop,
well,
or a painful correction.
I think be ringing ringing alarm bells for people in government in terms of the level of debt that first time buyers are taking on, because if they are stretching themselves to make payments that perhaps are a bit above or beyond what, you know, they might be comfortable with, and if there is a, you know, clouds on the horizon with this economy, whether jobs get lost and people are left in a really dire situation. We've seen that before. We're still feeling the repercussions of that, I think, from the last crash.
I will say, as someone who's gone through the process, the scrutiny that the banks put you under when trying to get a mortgage is unbelievable.
And actually, really,
the case is that the position that we're in now, I mean, traditionally people would rent perhaps because they couldn't afford a monthly mortgage, but that's not been the case for a very long time.
It's the reverse now.
You cannot get a mortgage and you're actually paying double in rent. And so I know when I was first trying to get into the process, the maximum amount of mortgage that I was told I could afford per month, I was saying my rent is actually double that. So how does it make sense that you can only give me a certain amount of money? The central bank did change their rules last year, where that limit was raised from 3.5 to 4 times. And actually, if you look at another European countries, you know, our lending rules are very, very strict, and they're there to prevent people becoming straddled with too much debt. Yes, people are taking on a lot of debt now to buy their homes, but I think if you're paying a mortgage every single month, that's better value and a better financial decision for you in the long term than it is to pay rent.
Yeah, I suppose the concern is, Duncan, that if the supply comes on stream and these are houses that people are buying now drop by a significant amount, that we're faced with the spectre of negative equity again.
Yeah, and look, I've experienced that when we had the crash last time, and you know it's bad. But it's what's bad. What's worse is homelessness and people being unable to afford a monthly mortgage. And I'm deeply concerned by the rising age of first time buyers going up to 36, as well as the rising amount of mortgage payment that they're taking on, which means they've less time to pay back more money, which means their monthly payments are going to be highly vulnerable to interest rate hikes if we have a difficult economy. So that's the real problem. If we bring on supply and people have roofs over their heads and they can afford that, that's where we want to be. Our problem, and it brings us back to the debate we were having previously about government formation and the failures of the previous government, and if we are going to have a continuation of that policy, then there will almost certainly be dark clouds ahead in terms of the housing system, given where we are now.
Darragh O'Brien obviously feels that he can fix it, Neil. He wants the job again.
Yeah, and that's his prerogative to lay that out to his party leader in due course. But I think when you look at, there's a couple of things, points there are made, and I think they merit reflection. First, we compare the mortgage market to European comparisons. We're not comparing like for like in terms of the amount of mortgage providers in the market. We've obviously had a different change in terms of the banking landscape too, have left the market. But equally, only in recent months, we've new mortgage providers coming in for that competition. And I don't want to use commercial terms, but you look at Avant Money or Revolut, who've entered the market in the last number of months, who will offer more competitive prices. The average age for getting a mortgage in the continent is 41. So even though ours has gone up, it's still lower in the continent. But I think to get to the key point, and it's somewhere where I will agree with Duncan, and I'm happy to agree with Duncan on many things, supply is the biggest issue. And it's the supply of rental accommodation to help bring down rent through competition in the market, private accommodation, cost rental, affordable and social. Okay. And what we want to achieve is a full press.
All right, we've got to leave it there. Thank you all for coming in. Have a lovely weekend, and the same to you listening at home or wherever you are today. Thank you very much for being with us today. Today's programme was produced by the series producer Niamh Lyons. Research was by Emma Cawley. Our broadcast coordinator was Jarlath Holland, and Paul Murnock was on sound. Back with you Monday morning at 10 o'clock. Until then, have a lovely weekend. Let's go over to Louise.